You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
We went over one of these verses last week. We've been teaching on the mind and, you know, what to think on, what not to think on, and to remember. Last week we taught on remembering, and we ended up with this one point that I want to major on, actually this whole message. Write it down. Everybody say, write it down. Okay. Writing things down is very important. I don't know if you realize that. If you get older, you will realize that. You need to write things down, and you do that for several reasons. The obvious fact about here we are in church, and we're teaching the Bible, what God says, is that God had things written down, okay? We have 66 books that he had written down for our benefit. Are you with me? And even his commandments, he had them engraved in stone. He had them written down. There's a reason to write things down. And you can see throughout here the scripture that the reason mainly, the first reason that you can see for writing things down is so that you can remember them. You know, if you just left to your own self, you're going to forget more than you remember. Are you out there? Do you think if, in fact, thank God I only remember the things I need to remember as I need them. Because if I remembered everything I ever learned my whole life right now, my head would just blow off my shoulders. I couldn't. It's too much information, too many facts. Are you with me? But it's amazing how much you do forget by misuse, disuse, or no use. You know, you just don't use something, you forget it. The natural inclination is to forget things. It takes effort to remember things. You have to put effort into remembering things, remembering names, remembering people. You know, they often talk about when you meet someone, you know, shake their hand, say their name back to them two or three times, you know, and that way you don't forget. You know, like, hello, Paul, how you doing? Nice to meet you, Paul. Well, Paul, let me ask you something. You know, you say it several times so you remember the name, or you just get married and ask your wife. That's what I do. Actually, that's what Brother Osteen used to do all the time. Brother Osteen was so funny. He would ask Dodie, you know, Dodie remembered everybody's name. She knew everybody in the church, everybody's name. But occasionally, she wouldn't know either because she'd come up to me or Brenda and she'd say, Brenda, would you go over to that couple over there and just introduce yourself and get their name? They told me, but I forgot. And come back and tell me. That's kind of a neat trick there, too. You know, have somebody else go up and come back and tell you. But the natural inclination is to forget things. I mean, if you don't put an effort into remembering things, you're not just going to automatically remember them. You need to keep that in mind. You need to remember that point, as it were. So what are you doing to remember things? What are you doing to remember the Scripture? What are you doing to remember your goals and your dreams, as it were? You know, goals and dreams come from God. I believe if God put a desire in your heart to do something, to be something, to accomplish something, then you need to pursue that. The Bible says God gives us the desires of our heart. Now, you can look at that two ways. That's Psalms, what, 37, verse 4? Says, yeah, 37:4. Either I remember it or I got Amanda right here, so between the two of us, we'll get it. Amanda, we quote scriptures and send them back and forth to each other all the time. But you can look at that two ways. God gives us what we desire, or he gives our desires to us. Both of them will work. If I desire something that's godly, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, I ought to pursue that thing. That's God's calling on my life. That's God's desire for me. If I have a desire for something, ministry or a dream or a goal for my family or business or whatever, well, God put me in that business. He gave me those talents. He gave me those gifts. I should believe for success in the business that I'm in, if that's the case, or the job I'm working on, or the marriage that I'm in, or whatever the case. God's not into failure. He's into success. But he's into succeeding in good, moral, godly things, not ungodly, immoral, evil, wicked things. Are you with me? We talked about that in Isaiah 55, that God's thoughts are not unrighteous, God's thoughts are not wicked, but God's thoughts are good and they are righteous. And just like the rain increases the ground, God's thoughts increase us. That's the context of Isaiah 55. So God's thoughts tend toward abundance, they tend toward success, but success in good things, success in marriage, success in character, success in love, success in forgiveness. Those are good, godly things. You want to succeed in that. God doesn't want churches to go under. He wants churches to succeed. Are you with me? He doesn't want marriages to go under. He wants them to go over. Those are good things, and that is successful. That's success, okay? Success is not what the world says. It's what God says. Amen? So when you have a dream and you have a goal and you have a desire and you have something you're praying about, what do you do to remember that? What do you do to keep that in front of you? You know, we just got through quoting our mission statement. You know, what are we about? Well, that's a good idea to know what your purpose is, isn't it? We should have a purpose. Why are we here? What are we about? We're about empowering people with the good news of Jesus Christ so they can change their world. Amen? That's if you're lost. We're about empowering you with the good news of Jesus Christ so you can change your world. If you're saved, we're still about empowering you with the good news of Jesus Christ so you can change your world. But you notice something, and I've noticed this too. I notice it every time I quote it, and I say, what are we about? I notice several eyes go toward. Right? And you already know it, but we've got it written. It's written down. It's written there, so it's a trigger. It's a memory. It's a memory point. Even some of the songs we sing, although many of them we know them and could sing them without the words, but I still find myself looking up at the words. It helps me. It triggers that memory. Writing things down is important. God wrote the commandments for you to remember, not to forget. Are you out there? And I think about Psalms 103. Now, you found 2 Peter, right? 2 Peter 3. You're there? Okay, just stay there. I'll get to it in a minute. I just want to make sure you don't forget. Psalms 103 says this. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, bless and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. It repeats it. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Oh, I love that. Forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems you from destruction and crowns your life with your head with loving kindness and tender mercy, satisfies your mouth with good things, renews your youth like the eagles. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Come on, renew my youth. Man, I had to fix my dishwasher this week, and I had to pull that thing out and wrap a bunch of wires and cut and put new wire in where rats had got in there throwing a breaker and put all that back together. And I'm telling you, renew my youth, oh Lord. Whew. I hurt more places than I knew I could hurt. My sides hurt. My skin hurt. My skin hurt from just rolling around moving anyway. But I don't want to forget. That's a benefit, isn't it? Isn't that what God says? But what's the tendency? Forget it. And what did God say? Forget not. Forget not. So we need to remember. Now Peter in 2 Peter 3, told you I'd get there. First verse. This second epistle, beloved, I now write to you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Okay, now why is he writing this? To stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I love that. He started out earlier, he said, I put you in remembrance of these things, although you already know them, to the end that you may be established. Although you already know them, I put you in remembrance. You say, well, I've already heard all that. Well, you're the one he's talking to. If you hadn't heard it, he's not talking to you. He's only talking to those that heard it so they don't forget it. Are you out there? Yeah, but I've already heard this. Exactly. You're the one he's talking to. Oh, come on. Can we go on something else? I've already heard this. No. The point is, this is to those that have heard it. you'll get it in a minute. I write this, the second epistle, beloved, I now write. Everybody say write. Okay. He wrote this, and the purpose of writing this was to stir you up, stir up your pure minds by putting you in remembrance. You know, often I listen to CDs. You know, I listen to teachings and so on and so forth. Read books, read a lot of books and teaching books. And many times it's stuff I've heard. In fact, I can pull out an old John Osteen, you know, cassette tape or VHS. Actually, they're putting some of his stuff on CD. I can put it in, and I've heard that sermon. I was there when he preached it, you know, and hear it, and I'm telling you what, I get so stirred up. I just listening to it again, you know, hearing it again a second time. I listened to this Kenneth Hagin CD just a couple weeks ago, and Oral Roberts CD, and T.L. Osborne CD, and Jerry Savelle CD, and, you know, and Jerry, of course, we know Jerry real well. We were just there just a month or so ago. But I hear things I've heard before, things that I knew, but you know what? I just hadn't took time to do them again or reinstitute them in my life, and I heard them again, and it stirred me up. Just remembering stirred me up, hearing it again. And I'll start writing down. I don't know about you, but when I listen to a message, I always write notes. I do that to this day. I'll sit down and write down the scriptures, and I'll write down the main points or things that come alive to me or maybe a good joke or something. But anyway. But the reason I do that is to stir me up to remember what was said. Second verse, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and our Savior. So obviously the Bible is written so you could remember it, and it was something you need to go over and read again to remember. To remember is to go over it. In the Old Testament, they had what they called recorders, same word in Hebrew for remember. Recorders were people that remembered, because it was just associated with, if you wrote it down, you'd remember it. Isn't that right? You know, God's going to do a lot, and God said he'd do a lot, and God promised he'd do a lot, and you know what he did? He wrote it down. We have a record of it. And anytime you want to, you know, go back over the validity, the veracity, the truth, the integrity, the character, the legality of what God will do, you go back to the paperwork. You go back to what's written. Isn't that right? Think about Jesus when he was tempted by the devil in Matthew the 4th chapter and also Luke the 4th chapter. The devil would come to him and he'd quote scripture. Jesus turned around and say, "It is written. It is written." In other words, he didn't just say, "God said." That's understood, God said it, but God wrote it. Oh, this is better preaching. Y'all are amening. I'm telling you, if you get a hold of this, it'll change your life. If you start writing things down. Start writing things down. Write down your dreams. Write down your goals. Write down what the Lord's telling you. Write down scripture. Write down promises. Write down things. Write it on an index card. Write it on, put it on your mirror in the bathroom. Put it on your refrigerator where you really won't forget it. I'm not pointing anybody out. I'm just saying. You know, somewhere where you'll see it. You know, where you'll remind. If something comes alive to you, has anything ever come alive to you in a church service? Oh, please say yes. Okay. Woo, I set myself up there now. Come on. If something ever comes alive to you, you need to write it down or you're going to forget it. You're going to revert back to the old Mission Impossible TV series. This message will self-destruct in 5, 4, 3, 2. You're going to forget it. It's just going to self-destruct if you don't write the thing down. But if you will write it down, it won't self-destruct. If you don't have some way of remembering it, if you don't repeat it, tell someone, share it with someone, write it down somewhere, you know what? You're just going to forget it. Because there's so many things going on in this world we live in. I mean, with all the technology we have and all the electronics we have, I think the biggest danger is not that there's anything ungodly about it. I got iPhones and iPads and laptops and, you know, all those things and satellite TV, you know. Brent and I just record stuff. We don't watch commercials, you know. We just go back and watch a show that we may like and run it through the commercials, get through the bad stuff, and then watch the show in about 40 minutes, you know, an hour-long show. But with all that technology and all the things going on, I think the biggest danger is just the time it takes. How much time you stand, you sit there on Facebook and look at all those people. What are they doing? What are they saying? Who's that? Punch that button, you know. It's just time. It just robs time. Are you out there? And I find myself, I'll type things up or I'll talk into it and it just translates it into, you know, you can punch buttons on these iPhones and iPads and I can punch microphone and I can talk and it will type out what I'm talking. Sometimes it gets it right. But anyway. But there's just something about writing it down. I don't know. When I write something down, it takes a little more involvement. Are you with me? I mean, I write the note out, and I do. I write every day. In fact, I've taken on myself the last 24 days, every morning when I get up, I'm write out in detail what I am trusting God for, what I see coming to pass in my life personally, in me, in my home. And then I got another page, what I see coming to pass in the church and the services and the people and the facilities, and then me personally as a pastor. I just write it out. Every morning I get up, that's the first thing I do. I get up and I write it all out, and then I see these things coming to pass in Jesus' name. And in front of that little book's like a journal, I have several scriptures, you know, that talk about doing that very same thing. Based on God's word, I'm doing what God says to do. And it helps me to remember things. And often, you know, even this church, when we first started this church, Brent and I had an idea of what kind of church God wanted this church to be. And I wrote things out years before we even started the church. I wrote things out. Then we came here, and I've looked back on those things that we wrote out, what kind of church I wanted this to be. And it is it's what we wrote down. And then as the years rocked on in this church, we began to confess and write down things that we were believing God for in this church. We believe God for this land that we're on right here and called this building into existence. Are you with me? And we called in missions, and we called in We called in all kinds of things. We called in these chairs. Y'all might remember that if you've been here. We stood up here, confessed that. I've got that all written out. And it's neat to go back over the years and look down at things that we have written out and say, this is what we are believing God for. And boy, we can just X those off. Little by little, they have been X'd off and X'd off and X'd off. One of the things I've always said about church services, they should be, when you come in, of course, people get saved, they get healed, they get filled with the Holy Ghost, they get their lives back together. My main prayer has always been, from the very beginning, and it's because of a vision that I had when God called me to teach, is I've always prayed that people walk out of this church better than they walked in. Knowing they can make it, knowing that God loves them, knowing that God's for them, knowing they can accomplish their dreams and goals in their life, and they count and they're important and they're somebody. And if church is not a haven, if it's not a place of healing, if it's not a place of deliverance, if it's not a place where you can get back on your feet again, what in the world are we doing in business? We need to close the doors. Are you with me? This is about you finding your place in life, finding God and finding the will of God for your life. Amen? And then going out and being whoever God told you to be. Amen? But write it down. Those are things I've written down over the years, and many, many things we've written down. I just talked about this short version of our mission statement. You know, how important it is to write it down. Do you know what you're believing? Are you consistent in what you're believing? Sometimes we're believing one thing, next year we're believing something else. I think one of the craziest things in the world is New Year's resolutions. Everybody makes a New Year's resolution. They don't write it down. They're gonna lose weight. Everybody joins gyms in January, don't they? And gyms love that. They sign you up for a year, and then you go for about three times, and then they got your money. You don't go back again. But you don't review it. You don't go over it. You don't say it over and over. Or I'm going to be a better person. Well, that's kind of vague. You need to kind of write down what that is. You know, I'm going to quit being so angry. Maybe that's your problem. I don't know. I'm going to be more forgiving. Maybe you have a hard time with that. Write it down and say, I'm going to do this. Romans 15. Turn there if you will. This helping anybody? I want to help you. I want to encourage you. And these are things you can do. You can do these things. If you're having trouble just staying consistent on what you're believing for, you're having trouble seeing your dreams and your goals come to pass, well, start doing some things to make that happen. You know, what are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do next week? I don't know. I'm just going to get up and whatever happens, happens. You know. No, you need to have a plan. You need to plan your day. You need to take control of your calendar. It's not a matter of filling your calendar. It's a matter of you filling it or something else filling it. Because your calendar will get full. It'll get full of all kinds of things, mundane things, pointless things, things that have no priorities, and you'll be going here and there and never get anything done. But if you plan, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that. See, that's the difference between rich and poor people or businesses that make it and don't make it, is they have a plan. They project things. They project budgets and so on and so forth. God has a plan. Are you out there? Got a plan for your life. You ought to have a plan too. Romans 15:15 says, nevertheless, Paul speaking, brethren, I have written more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. In other words, he's making a plain statement here so you don't miss it. He's being very bold about what he's saying so you don't misunderstand. He's writing this so you'd be in mind of it. I love that. See, we miss that. We just read through there. But as we're reading, we need to understand this was written so we would know. It's written so we'd remember and be mindful. You know what you're mindful of? What you write down. You know, you tie the ribbon around your finger, all those little tricks we use. But writing something down, I'll tell you, and especially consistently writing it down. I mean, I actually rewrite every day. I don't just write it and look at it. I'll write it, look at it all day long, tweak it, you know, and change it a little here and change it there. In fact, that's really what, if you look at ancient classic writers, they'll tell you the way you do it. You write it, and then you amend it, and then you rewrite it. Hello. You refine it. You hone it down. You chisel it out here and there, and you clarify it, and it gets clearer and clearer and clearer. That's one of the reasons we write, to clarify and to simplify. Why would I write it down? So I'm very clear on what I'm believing. Why would I write it down? So I'd be very simple about what I'm believing, not complicated. You know, it doesn't matter how much information you have. If it's not in order, you're just more confused. the greater the amount of information, the more confusion you are if you have no order. Writing puts it in order, doesn't it? You can look at it and you can move it around and say, okay, well, I really need to do this first, and I need to do that and that in my life spiritually or physically or whatever the case may be. Habakkuk 2, turn there. This is a verse we went over last week. Habakkuk, Old Testament. I don't know if it's Habakkuk or Habakkuk, but when you get to heaven, you can ask him. And by all means, you know, read the book, because he's going to ask you that probably if you read his book. Habakkuk 2, verse 1. Now I can't even say it. Habakkuk 2, verse 1. I will stand upon my watch. And what he's saying here is, I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to listen and see what God has to say. And set me upon the tower. I will watch to see what he, God, will say to me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. I'm going to listen and see what the word of the Lord is. I'm going to listen and see what God has for my life, what he plans for my life. If you're entering into a relationship, you need to pray about it. Are you with me? By all means, pray and see if that is the will of God for your life. And then if it is, follow suit and follow through. If you're entering into a business deal or your potential business deal, you need to pray about that thing. Especially if you're going to church. Oh, come on now. You need to pray and see if God wants you in that church. Just because the church is exciting, just because the church has your age group, or just because the church has a building, or just, there's all kinds of reasons we go to church. But the number one reason is, or should be, God told us to go there. And God wants us there. And I tell people all the time, they'll ask me, well, I'm looking for a church, you know, first time they come. And I say, well, great, I'm going to pray and believe God's going to show you which one it is. If we're it, come on. If we're not, well, praise God, God's going to show you which one it is. I mean, I'm not possessive in that sense, because I don't want someone here that doesn't need to be here. I'm not everybody's cup of tea. Oh, come on now. I mean, really, I don't minister to everybody. I understand that. I get that. I understand that. Everybody doesn't minister to me, okay? I'm not everybody's cup of tea, but I'm somebody's cup of tea. There are some people that God knits here and puts here. I'm not the only one set here by the Holy Ghost. You're set here by the Holy Ghost. You know it in your heart. Are you with me? God sets the members in the body, every member in particular, not just the pastor. I'm not the only one called. Every one of us are called. We're called to worship in a certain place. And when you're there, you know that. You have a witness. You have a, I'm supposed to be here. This is right. This is where I'm supposed to be. You know that. I can't tell you that. I can't make you understand that. You just have to hear that by the Spirit. You have to pray. You have to stand on your tower and watch and hear what God is saying to you. I think it's interesting. He goes on and says this second verse, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tables or tablets, that he may run that readeth it. Have you written out your vision? In business, they call them mission statements. You know, you go to a church site, you'll find a section that says what we believe. And you go over there and you'll find out what they believe. And they'll lay out before you what they believe about salvation, about healing, or about the inerrancy of the Scripture, the Bible, the Word of God. They'll talk about heaven and hell and the rapture and so on and so on. And they'll tell you what they believe on it. You can go to that site, and it is written what they believe. It's called like a mission statement. Are you with me? So what do you believe? That's a good question. And what are you believing? You know, I mentioned last week Amanda has a blessing book where she writes down blessings, that things that have happened. And then she has a section that's called a dream, or what's it called? Doesn't have a name. I just named it. It's called your dream book. Yeah. Okay. She has a section that she's believing for something. And I think it was Bobby somebody was talking to Bobby the other day and said something about something in Amanda's book. And Bobby said, well, if it's in Amanda's book, it's going to happen. You know, because Amanda's praying. I mean, she's praying. She's got scripture. She's calling that thing in Jesus' name, you know, and calling those things, be not though they were, decreeing a thing, so to be established unto you based on Scripture, you know. And if she writes it down, we called Bobby and Debbie back. got them back in the church. They were down in Houston going to church, stay with me. They had moved away, and we were believing with them. They were believing to come back. But she had it in her book. And I tell you what, if it is written, come on. It is written. See, you ought to be that way. You ought to say, this is what God showed me. This is what God put in my heart. This is what I'm believing for. I'm basing on this scripture and that scripture, and it is written. See, we say that with a word, and rightly so. But we don't always have as much confidence in our prayers based on the Word. Write it down. Amen? God said, write it down. You got a vision? Write it down. You got a dream? Write it down. You feel like God's dealing with you about something? Write it down. In fact, if you write it down, it'll start clearing up for you. Anybody ever heard of Francis Bacon? Bacon, I love bacon. Don't you love bacon? Okay. I don't know where they came from. Paleo diet. Eat a lot of bacon on a paleo diet. Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, Francis Bacon, Essays of Francis Bacon, which I read years ago, he said this, and you'll recognize the saying because it's been quoted over and over. But it says, reading maketh a full man, conference a ready man, and writing an exact man. And therefore, if a man write little, he had need of a great memory. And if he confer little, he had need of present wit. And if he read little, he had need of much cunning to seem to know what he doth not. But if you think about it, and he understood the principle, and we all know the same, it's the same, the truth. Writing makes it exact. Writing hones off the edges. You write it down and look at it, and you look at it again tomorrow, and you look at it again the next day, and you look at it again the next day, you'll see some things. Well, you know what? I need to do it this way, or I need to do it that way. Or I need, I need to do this first and that first. Oh, I can see now how I need to take steps toward that goal. You keep it before you, don't forget it. It's not like a New Year's resolution that you say one time and then you just forget the rest of the year. Writing makes it exact. And that's what he's saying here. Write it on a tablet. Write it down that you may run when you read it. Make it simple enough where you understand it, where you can walk in it, where you can go for it, where you can do it. What are the steps you need to make? That's a good question. You know, you're believing for this or believing for that. Well, what can you do right now to make that happen? That needs to be a good question. What can I do right now to make my steps toward that action? You're believing for $1 million in savings. Okay, fine. How much did you put aside this week? Hello. I mean, you didn't do anything this week? What about the month goes by? Did you do anything this month? I mean, if you're going to put a mile of fence in, you got to put the first post in, okay? And then you put the second post in. And like I always say, if you got 100 coyotes attacking you at one time, shoot the one on the front porch first. Isn't that right? Then shoot the next one. See, you got to have a plan, and if you don't write it down, you're not going to plan anything. You're not gonna think about it. You're not going to, you know, tweak it. You're not going to work it out. We need to work, okay, I want this, but what's my plan to get there? Writing down gives you that plan. I want to be healed. Maybe it's a healing that you need. Maybe there's something wrong with your body. Okay, that's fine. Let's believe God for that supernatural healing. But ask yourself a question. Am I doing something making this worse? Am I eating things that don't need to be eaten? Now, I'm not getting into all this. You know, I'm not trying to make a gospel out of diet. I'm just saying there are some just common sense things that you know and I know we could do to make this a little easier. You know, you want to get out of debt? Here's a good thing to help you get out of debt. Quit borrowing money. That's deep, okay? That's deep. But you got to make a commitment. Okay, I'm in debt. I have got to stop that. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to get out of debt. And I'm going to start giving. I'm going to start believing. I'm going to start saving. I'm going to start paying money on that debt. Little by little, something, if anything. Come on, do something. RV money came from that. You know what RV money was all about originally? Originally, we had couple $100,000 debt on this building and the land that we're in. We had to go back and borrow some more money to finish the building because we didn't borrow enough to start with. And anyway, we owed $200,000 and we just didn't. I'll tell you, it wasn't coming in. And we got serious about, we got to pay off this debt. We had a guest speaker come in, a good friend of mine, Gary Upham. Y'all know Gary. And the Lord spoke to him about a V-money deal. You know, he used the example of geese. They fly 75% faster and further in a V than they do by themselves. And so we call this V money. He said, if everybody just bring a dollar and don't touch that money, but let it build up for a month and take the money and just put it straight on the principal of the loan. Simple little plan. He talked to me and asked me if it was okay. And we actually had two little loans and a big loan. And we called the two little ones the lion and the bear, and the big one we called Goliath. And so we just started taking up dollar money, Coke, candy bar money. I kept going to Starbucks, so it wasn't Starbucks money. But anyway, you know, things that were wasteful, not Starbucks. But we'd take this money, and at the end of the month, We'd make our payment, but we take that money, we wouldn't touch that money, and we put it right on the principal. We pay one loan off 7 years early, I think. Unbelievable. In fact, we got way out of it. We paid off the first loan, paid off the second loan early, paid them both off early. The third loan, we had $18,500 to pay it off by the end of 1997. We had a plan. We were faithfully doing this. See, we didn't just have a vision. We weren't just confessing our way out of debt. And we would. We'd stand up and say, our building's paid for in Jesus' name. Every service, we begin to say that. And we wrote it down. But we had a plan to get there. Little plan, just dollar money, but it added up. It added up. And here comes Jerry Seville in here ministering. 1997, our 15-year anniversary. We owed $18,500, and at the end of the service, he stood up there and he says, I do not do this for show. He said, but when I walked in this building, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said that I am to pay off this building. Amen. And he wrote a check for $18,500 and paid our building off. Whew, hallelujah. I never will forget that service. I was sitting right here, and I heard him say that. And then it was like a fog just... And then I heard, hallelujah, amen. Everything slowed down. I'm looking around, and I'm sitting down, everybody standing up hollering. I mean, it didn't register. Just for a second, I went, did I hear? Because I'm sitting here thinking, I'm believing God, I'm believing you for a good offering for Brother Jerry. I was believing for a good offering for Brother Jerry. You know, I wanted to bless him for coming to our church and ministering in our church. I thought that was so great that he come, and he... Did I? What? It just did not compute, you know. And so finally I got it, but I think I was probably the last one that stood up, you know. And I was hollering like the rest of them. And we did give him a good offering, but we didn't give him $18,500, I can tell you that. But, you know, if you look at that, we had a plan. We had written it down. We were chiseling away at it. We were doing what we could. Listen, you're not going to believe for $1 million if you can't believe for a hamburger. Okay? You got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. And you're not going to have a worldwide ministry if you can't witness to your next door neighbor. Are you with me? The light that shines furthest shines brightest at home. Are you with me? Think about it. If you can't do something, if you can't do just something right now, and writing it down will give you that something. Yeah, I love Job 22:28. You don't have to turn there, but it says decree a thing, Job 22:28. Decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you, and the light shall shine upon your ways. In other words, if you'll say it, all of a sudden, what you're saying will start coming to pass, and God will give you light or creativity or the wherewithal to get it done. Most of the time, we just give up. There's nothing I can do. We don't have any way out because we won't say our way out. And in this case, we won't write our way out. Oh, come on, write it down. Give it some finality here. Amen? Clarify it. That's what we do when we write things down. We make it simple, and we make it plain. I'll tell you another thing it does, too. When you write things down, of course, you remember it if you write it down. It gives it clarity and simplifies it when you write it down. Helps you to formulate a plan, as it were. But also, I did this the other day. I know it sounds silly, but it just made sense to me. I've been writing this down page by page by page, you know, every day, writing down things that we're believing, things that for the church, and so on and so forth. And I've got scriptures in the front, and I'd put, I'm believing these in Jesus' name. But I started signing it. Signed, Michael W. Williams. I just started signing my vision. You say, what is that? In legal terms, it means you're committed. Are you with me? In fact, this I will do. If you can get somebody to sign on the dotted line, they're obligated. That's what Jesus did. He signed it. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. Well, now, are you willing to put your name on what you're believing? Amen. Are you willing to put your name on that contract? Are you willing to pay that loan out? Are you willing to deed that land out? Are you willing to commit to this agreement? Are you willing to sign here, here, and here? Are you willing to sign your name to it? That's good, isn't it? Because signing gives it legality. I like what Moses, you know, asked God about. He said, well, who am I going to tell him sent me? He said, you tell him I am that I am sent you. I sign it. Signed, sealed, and delivered. I'm yours. That's an old song, but I mean, I'm talking about God signing off on this. God signed off on what he promised. He signed off on what he said he would do. He put his name on the line. And his integrity is in question. His character, his credibility is in this thing because his name is on this. And we bear his name. Are you with me? And if we say we're going to believe something, then we need to be able to sign that thing and say, sign Michael W. Williams right there. I'm going to do this. I'm believing for this in the name of Jesus. According to God's word, blah, blah, scripture, scripture, scripture. I'm believing thus, this, and so. I sign it. I don't know, I just did something to him when I started doing that. Just the last few days I started doing that. I put, sign Michael W. Williams. Put my signature, wrote it out. Yeah, in red. Yeah. I may just get a witness one day and say, would you witness this? Would you put your name under mine that you witnessed me seeing and signing this, that you saw me do it? Get a notary public. That'd be something. Put your vision together, what you're praying for, type it all up, sign it, and go take it to a notary. They're thinking, what are you doing? I'm legalizing this. Are you with me? But really, put your name on the thing. I mean, come on. This is what I'm believing. I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about you. What are you believing? What is your vision? What is your calling? What is your dream? What is it you're trusting God? What did God tell you? Not what he told everybody else. What did he tell you? Have you written it down? Well, you ought to. Amen? God wrote things down and he signed it. Hallelujah. Hey, turn to Deuteronomy 6. Now I'll wrap this up. This helping anybody? Just one key to going forward. Hallelujah. There's many keys, but this is a good one. You ought to get in the habit of writing things down. I've often heard this and read it in many books too, and it's so true, that you can break a habit in 21 days and you can create one in 21 days. You know, if you get in a habit and say, okay, in the morning I'm going to get up and I'm write some things down. Get your coffee, whatever it is you do, you know, and with me it's coffee. Got to have some coffee. But I get my coffee and I start writing things down. And I've done it now enough to where I'm going to keep it up. I know I am because I've already done it for about 24, 25 days. Now I look forward to it. I can't wait. I can't wait to get up. And I know I got to go to bed to get up, but I can't wait to get up and start writing it again. Because it's just drilling it in. It's ingraining it. It's causing it to come clear to me. I'm seeing it more and more. I'm seeing these things come to pass. Believing certain things for the church, like I said, that I'm seeing come to pass in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Things about people, things about finances, things about buildings and so on and so forth. I see it. I see it. I see it. It's coming clearer and clearer. Things become clearer by approach. And if you head towards something, it's going to become clearer. Amen? Notice what it says here in Deuteronomy 6. Here, 6 verse 4. This is called in amongst the Jewish people the Shema. That's the, or Shama, depending on how they pronounce it. The Hebrew word hear, which means hear and do. Hear and obey. That's what it means. And every little Jewish boy quotes this. I mean, they learn this, the first 4th through the 9th verses. And they'll quote this every day. And it goes like this. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. In other words, they had a little box, and they would put scriptures in the boxes and put it on their hand and have them with them all the time. And they should be as frontless between the eyes. They even had a little band around here with scriptures on her forehead. And it says, they shall be as frontless between your eyes, and you shall write them upon the post of your house and on your gates. Oh, I love that. Why? So you won't forget. So it'd be clear, and so you'd understand. So you'd know where you're going. I don't know what the world's doing, but I know what I'm going to do. I know what God's going to do. I don't know what the economy's going to do, but I know what God's going to do. Are you with me? I don't know about silver. I don't know about stocks. I don't know about bonds. I don't know about housing. I don't know about everything in the world you can imagine, and I'm invested in some of those things. I have no problem with that. But, they're not always so predictable. You know, sometimes you can see trends coming here and trends coming there. But I do know this. My God supplies my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. He daily loads me with his benefits. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack for any good thing. Yea, I have been young and I have been old. I'm just quoting the scripture. I'm not old. But I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed out begging for bread. I know that if I hearken diligently to his voice and do that which is right in his sight, all these blessings will come on me and they will overtake me, and I will be blessed in the city and I will be blessed in the field, and I'll be blessed in the fruit of my body and the fruit of my kind and the fruit of my ground, and God will cause the rain to come down in my land in its season. I'll tell you what, I am blessed. I don't know about everybody else. I don't know about everything else, but I know God is going to take care of me. I know that. See, I've got that before me. I've got that written. My God shall supply my needs according to its riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I don't know what's going to happen to me next week. I don't know what's going to happen to me next month or next year, but I know I'm going to trust God, and God's going to come through. I've trusted God my whole life since I got saved, and he's always come through. He has never left me alone. He has never left me without, praise God. I've gone through some tough times, but I came through them, hallelujah, and I'm still standing, praise the Lord. I know that much. I know that much. I have read that much. I have written that much down. Are you with me? And I'm going to attend to his word and incline my ear into his sayings, and I'm going to keep them in the midst of my heart, for they are life to me and health to all my flesh. Woo! I'm just going to have to quit. I keep going here. It just gets gooder and gooder and gooder. But make a habit. Write some things down. You say, well, I don't know what to write down. Well, see, that's why you need to write it down. You say, well, what do I write down? Well, that's the whole point here. Do you know what you're believing for? Do you know where you're going? Where are you going to be next year? Where are you going to be 2 years from now? Are you believing? Oh, please, come on, join us and believe us with this church. Can't you believe some things for us, if nothing else? Believe for growth in our church. Believe for salvations and healings and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Believe for marriages coming back together right here in this church. Let's believe for a flow of the gifts and the Holy Ghost and the presence of God. Believe that people be arrested with God's presence when they walk in here. Believe with us that, whoo, I'll be anointed. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Believe for awesome preaching, challenging sermons, life-changing messages. Believe that people walk out of here better than they walked in. There's something right down right there. Start there. Start believing for the church. Start believing for the gospel, the kingdom of God, and then narrow it down to your business. Do you work? Do you believe you're going to have a good day? Do you believe you're going to be successful? I hope so. Who are you going to work for? Well, start writing it down and start getting scriptures on it. Hallelujah.